everybody. Time for the Mainland Podcast, episode number 86. I am Michael Citro, the founder and managing editor of themainland.com. Joining me, as is per usual, is Dave Rowe from the Mainland as well. Dave, how are we doing tonight?
Oh, we are doing just dandy, especially considering that later tonight, as you listeners are listening, we're going to get to watch a late match, and then we've got two this week. There's just so much to be happy about.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough Thursday for me. In fact, I think I'm going to take a half of a floating holiday on Thursday to sleep in, because we'll be up late on, you know, as you're listening to this as it drops tonight, and it'll be late into the evening by the time the Mainland stuff is all in and done, the recap and the player grades, man of the match, and all that stuff. And so I get to be up and writing and editing very, very late tonight. So, but you know, it's worth it because it's match day.
That's right, and it just shows the dedication that our editor brings to the table.
Yes, some people would call it madness. I will say that we'll put the San Jose Earthquakes on hold for now, and we'll dive right in, Dave, to what happened Saturday with Orlando City. They finally get to come home after a grueling two games away. It doesn't sound grueling, but when you consider it was games two and three in an eight-day span, they you know, were pretty worn out, got to come home and train like normal for a week before playing Sporting Kansas City. Very good team from the Western Conference, and it didn't take them very long at all to get on the board in the ninth minute to take a 1-0 lead with what just seemed to be a fortunate bounce. There was a little scramble in front of the goal. Ball popped right to Latif Blessing, and he popped it in the net to make it 1-0. Fun little fact that play, as it was coming in, and a lot of people said they thought that was offside, and I didn't think it was really offside unless you rule that the player came back from an offside position, but he to play the ball. That maybe has some legs, but certainly he was on when the pass was made. Anyway, at the same time that pass was being made on the right side, Jose Aja was being held by Roger Espinoza in the middle of the pitch, right in front of the referee, who did not see it or decided that was a fair play. And so he was a little bit late getting back into position, and that resulted in a little bit of a scramble. And SKC took the lead 1-0. How did you see the play?
Well, after going back and looking at the hands-on approach that KC was taking against Jose, it's unfortunate. You know, Blessing, obviously he was a thorn in our sides all night. So I mean, we weren't expecting him. I mean, Coach even said they were not expecting him to start. So his pace and whatnot wasn't what they were thinking of when they were hitting the pitch to start. So I think that adjustments were needed to be made, and I think they took advantage of that early. Obviously, you know, Blessing was able to get into the right spot to do it. Mm-hmm. And yes, that was a pretty flagrant foul on Aja. But then again, given the fact that there were, I think, double-digit fouls called on Orlando in the first half and almost none on KC – in the first half,
there were none. There were absolutely none called on Sporting in the first half.
It was, and like I said, double digits on Orlando. The officiating, the pro officiating, seemed to be a little askew. You heard it through that stadium, that very, very loud stadium. You may have even heard me yelling at my TV. So it was. I think that all contributed to. Look, that guy missed the call on Aja being held. Okay, that's fine. They score the goal. You know, we can look ahead where, you know, we come back later.
Well, the good thing is that Orlando City responded very well to the goal by scoring twice, 10 minutes apart. Carlos Rivas finding Larin, and all he had to do was get a toe on the ball because the cross was just that good. All he had to do is stick out a foot, and it goes in the net. Kyle Larin erases a three-game scoreless streak for himself, and gets back on the score sheet. And then just 10 minutes later, as I mentioned, Rivas buzzed another one across that nobody could get onto, and it resulted in getting onto Scott Sutter's foot on the opposite flank. Sutter puts in a ball, and it, as he's getting ready to send the ball in, I swear to God this is true, I said to Austin David, we don't have anybody in the box except Rick, and you know, meaning Ricardo Kaká, and lo and behold, Sutter puts that thing right on his chest. He takes it down with not one, but two touches with his chest. It falls to his foot, takes about a half a dribble forward, and just plants it in just inside the far post. And just an unbelievable play by the captain.
He curved it around two defenders and the goalie into the only spot that it could have gone into that goal. It was an amazing goal. And you have, listeners, you have until the end of tonight to go vote for MLS Goal of the Week. And we encourage you to go do so because it was incredible. And if you haven't seen it, go find the the GIF of it, because it truly was an excellent goal by the captain. And once again, you know, we've seen time and time again, you know, Sutter putting it in, you know, our defensive backs, you know, along the sides there are delivering balls in for goals. I mean, it's become almost a theme, and it's I like seeing it anytime they're going to do it. But It's nice that we have, you know, we've said it before, that whole team attack, whole team defense. Mm-hmm. So, you know, most importantly, Kaká's been on fire since he came back from injury. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's playing like a man possessed, and that bodes well for Orlando. I think it was really funny that there was somebody, and I know I mentioned it in one of my Lion Links articles, that said that he was holding Orlando City back. It's old.
Yeah. And
I included it in the links because it was so ridiculous that I just had to share it. The idea that, you know, the 2007 Ballon d'Or, the, you know, World Player of the Year, who still has undeniable grace with the ball, is holding back an MLS squad is perfectly laughable.
Yeah, because the team won a bunch of games without him, so he just concluded that they
didn't
were better.
Him,
yeah, they were better without him. Yeah, 3 goals in 4 games for the captain since his return. Yeah, I just said, we have nobody in the box but Rick. And then after he scored, I said, well, I guess that's enough. If that's who you got, I guess that's a pretty good one to have in there. And,
yeah, I mean, if you're going there, he's not bad. You know, of course, Laren's goal, I mean, you said that he just had to stick a foot out. Mm-hmm. But how many times has that been the case with Kyle, where he just has to get a head on it, get a foot on it, whatever?
Oh, yeah, the service has been fantastic. And we had a story run today about Carlos Rivas, who's already got 5 assists this year. The team record is 10. Kaká had 10 last year. That is the record for the franchise since joining MLS. And Carlos Rivas is on a pace right now for 17, which would nearly double a pretty good player in Kaká at his output. So, yeah, the service from Carlos Rivas you can't argue with. You get 3 assists on the other side for Scott Sutter. Toya has 1. He doesn't get up into the play quite as much, and he doesn't need to when you've got Carlos Rivas up there. So,
and then Johnson's got at least 1. So
there's been great service. I mean, you can't really argue it. And now, you know, we were lamenting, well, is what happens if Kyle doesn't score? We've got nobody else that can score. Well, Kaká says, remember me? I was once the best player in the entire world. I think I know how to
be
the ball.
The most highly paid player in all of MLS for a reason.
Yeah, I think that guy can put the ball in the net sometimes. So it's good to see him in good form because, you know, every time he gets hurt, takes a little bit of a knock, everybody starts going, oh, he's all washed up, he's old, he's all done. And, you know, he just comes back and laughs at you and says, you know, I just go out and play. I mean, you can't control getting hurt. You can get hurt in training. You can get hurt, you know. Obviously, we saw a pitcher in the World Series get hurt cleaning his drone. You know, so, I mean, you can get hurt any number of ways. Getting hurt is a part of life. And, you know, you could say, well, you know, older players do have a tendency to get hurt more than others, but when he's on and he's healthy, he's still as good as any midfielder in MLS. So, you know, it's nice to see. So The captain gave the team the lead going into the break, and in the second half, it really just seemed like a matter of time before they put the game away. Sporting had a lot of, you know, a lot of possession. They weren't generating a ton of really good chances, though, and then all of a sudden, they just came down with a play, and boom, 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 it's in the net in the 74th, and it's all tied up at two, and it was a little bit of unfortunate. Again, this one, the cross came in, and it deflected to Benny Failhaber, who got a shot. Bendick went down and made the save, and the rebound goes right through Aha's legs and lands right on Latif Blessing's foot. Now, on this one, I think Jose probably should have done a little bit better job tracking Blessing in the box rather than trying to clear it, but you know, it's easy for me to say, and the ball was pinging around in there. It's like a pinball, so it's kind of hard to react that quickly. But in the end, it was 2-2, and then Jose thought 2 minutes later that he'd made up for that mistake. He puts his first MLS goal in the net 2 minutes later on a corner kick, and much to everyone's chagrin, the flag was up. And
let's be fair, we all thought that goal was
in. Yeah. I mean, I thought it was in for sure. But you know, from the west side of the stadium where the press box is, we are at the entire. We're in the same on the same side of the field, but the opposite corner from where the AR is. So it was really hard to see that he was down there with his flag up from where I was sitting. But I saw them jumping up and down. The stadium erupts, and then I saw the player's body language, and I saw the referee pointing for a goal kick rather than pointing out to the center circle. And I said, oh, man, what happened? And we thought, you know, again, I didn't see the flag.
Yeah, we're thinking offside.
Was,
right.
So I wasn't thinking offside because you can't be offside on a corner kick. The ball's okay, starting on the end. So I thought that they called this dainty little push by Laren. What I thought they called it first. And then, you know, after some more thought and some replays, and it was like, okay, the word came in that, yes, it was over the line. Now we have, you know, there's this Twitter account. And
yes,
they do this thing where they measure the lines and they've fixed points, and they try to figure out where the trajectory of the ball is to determine whether players are offsides and whether balls are in the net and that kind of, or crossing the line and that kind of thing. And
geometry.
That's right. And they use math and science, and they determined that, yes, it was a good call, that the ball was out by about 7 inches. Now,
yep.
It seems like a very minor thing, but it is the rule, and in my opinion, the rule sucks. I think if you can curl the ball out and then back in on a corner kick, you should be able to do that.
As long as it doesn't hit the bar, then
yeah. As long as it doesn't hit any part of the goal that's behind the line, I think it should be fair game. But I mean, it's just like, you know, shooting a basket from behind the backboard,
right?
You know, as long as it doesn't touch the back of the backboard, you're all good.
Unfortunately, that's not how it goes.
That's not how it goes.
I did feel better after, because I saw that same tweet. And I did feel better after that because I'm a big math and science guy. Not that I'm good at it, but I'm a big believer in it. And so when I saw that, I went, okay. Because, you know, I was like everybody else. I was sitting there going, really, really, really? Come on. We went ahead. It's we're going to keep the win streak. And, you know, so I think it was the next day before I saw it. So I was still probably a little bit peeved. But when I saw it, I was like, okay, fine. You know,
I felt really bad for Aha because he was so excited, and he, you know, it's his first MLS goal. It's probably going to be a game winner, and no, it's not a goal. So anyway, besides, I wanted to make sure I got this in. The Twitter account is Soccer Photogrammetry. It's at Offside Modeling is the Twitter. You want is just good, the at symbol and then Offside Modeling, all one word.
Definitely check it out because, yeah. Like I say, that helped me through the pain of that one. And you know, most importantly for me was after that, or even up until after they scored the tying goal, mm-hmm. We never stopped pressing. They never gave up. You know, it was they didn't back down. They were going for 3 points.
Yeah, Jason Kreis wanted to win. Certainly wanted to win. The players wanted to win. He put Giles Barnes on. Unfortunately, Carlos Rivas took a few knocks during the game and had to come off. He really got leveled a few times, and unfortunately wasn't able to continue. and they brought Giles Barnes on, and really, once Rivas left the game, it really took its toll on the dynamic nature of the attack. It really wasn't the same attack anymore. They put they also took off Krishna Gita because he was on a yellow, because he's always on a yellow. By the way, that was fourth yellow, so if he gets a yellow tonight,
Yeah,
he'll
then
be
he's out of the
suspended.
game, yeah.
So it would be interesting to see if he gets the start at San Jose. But yeah, it was an attempt to go after the win, and there was a play where they got the ball in, and Laren got there just ahead of David Bingham, but or not David Bingham, I'm sorry, Tim Melia. I'm getting ahead of myself on the goalkeeper. He got there just ahead of Melia, but he was too close to Melia to do anything with it, and Amelia made the save, and then there was a big collision, and Kyle was, a little gimpy after that. That all of that just preceded their goal. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes.
So I don't even know if he had made it all the way back onto the field yet before the goal was scored. It may have been at least for the build up to that goal, or just before it. The Lions were playing with 10 men just before that. So
Right.
maybe we're a little discombobulated from that injury. So it's interesting how quickly a game can turn, because right there, if he scores, it's 3-1 and the game's kind of done and dusted, and he doesn't score and he gets banged up, and then maybe the team's a little discombobulated for a couple of minutes and give up the goal. So instead, it's tied. But anyway, at the end of the day, Bendick made a couple of decent saves at the end and made sure that the visitors weren't going to get the 3 points. And it's a hard-fought 2-2 draw against Sporting Kansas City. Pretty good team and a very good defense to be scoring 2 goals against. So when you got a pair of center backs like Ike Opara and Matt Beisler, that's one
Yes.
of the best tandems in the entire league. So a good job by Orlando to get the opportunities to score and to get a couple on the board and to get a point and to at least snap that little mini 2-game losing streak. And they'll try to go out against San Jose and New York City FC and try to get back in their winning ways. So Dave, I want to know from you, who was your David Rowe man of the match?
The David Rowe man of the match is the captain, Kaká. He that goal, it was just outstanding. I can't say enough about it. We've said it again and again. This is one of those, the entire team plays well, but he, for me, that goal epitomized the how he's been since he's come back. He's quite possibly the only person on that field that night that could have made that shot, at least, and made it look that easy. For me, it was Kaká. I do want to say that I in addition to that, I really appreciate that as a team, nobody gave up after that second goal. So I have a lot of respect for that, and it's the whole different mentality, but Kaká gets my man of the match.
Yeah, and mine as well. I did the grades for this one, and yeah, I had Kaká as my man of the match as well. And it was there were a couple of players I thought played pretty well. I thought Will Johnson quietly had a very, very solid game. I was called out for saying that. So Will Johnson did nothing during the game. I was like, well, if you didn't see him screwing up, then he had a really good game, actually, because that's kind of the way
Right.
Will Johnson plays. So I thought Will Johnson had a good game. I thought Spector played well. I thought Bendick played very well. He made some pretty big saves in that game. Of course,
Carlos.
Kaká,
Carlos
Carlos
played.
played well. Yes, another good outing for him. Sutter had a pretty good game as well. Yeah, I just think it was a good match for a lot of guys, but I went with Kaká not only for the goal was amazing. The ability to do that, he had a free kick that was just off as well, and
Oh, yeah.
but he had a move in the 79th minute that was unbelievable, forced Ilie Sanchez to grab him and take a yellow card. I mean, he was all over the pitch. He even was hustling back on defense. He took a free kick in the 89th minute with everybody forward, and the ball was knocked out. No, he got back to take out a counterattack all by himself. A really nice game for the captain. He played very well. I gave him my man of the match as well. So there you go. We're in agreement. It sometimes happens.
That's it's always a little I'm always a little scared when that happens, but that's okay.
Yeah. So anyway, the The Lions will go, they're already out there in San Jose to take on the Earthquakes at 10:30 p.m. Eastern time, which I think is total BS. But it is what it is. You play the schedule the way it's set up for you. And I'm sure that wasn't intentional or anything for a California team to want the late start time.
I'm sure it has nothing to do with home field advantage at all.
So it'll be interesting to see if there's a winner, because these teams have drawn both times they played. And I think we still kind of owe San Jose for that 94th minute goal last year to ruin what was the first game after the Pulse nightclub shooting. In the fourth minute of 3 minutes of stoppage time, they scored. So, I'm still a little bit bitter about that. I thought the game...
We are all bitter about that.
There was a ball at the top of the box that Breck Shea cleared out to about three-quarters of the way toward the halfway line, and I thought that was the perfect time for the ref to blow the whistle, because it had been 4 minutes, and he didn't, and then ball gets circulated back in, and then it's in the net, and it's like, oh, and then you saw the entire team collapse. Was, by the way, I think that was the second to last game in the Adrian Heath era at Orlando City. So, not good. Not great, Bob.
No.
So, we owe them. But we'll talk a little bit more about the Earthquakes a little bit later in the show. We had that draw. But we had a couple of wins to celebrate this weekend, Dave. Let's start with the Pride on Sunday. Poor Pride, man. They're 0-2-2 coming into the weekend. They had played three of the four games away from home. They had played both last year's finalists, the Shield winners from last year, and on the road against a team with one of the best defenders in the world in Becky Sauerbrunn. Very hard team to score against. And so all they had to show for all of that was 2 points on two draws. And, in fact, the one at Kansas City was a heartbreaker, because it came with just, like, 5 minutes left to go in the game, the tying goal. And they come home, and they get to play the first place undefeated North Carolina Courage. So it's almost like you couldn't make this up. It's just like the schedule maker is saying, how can I make this even harder now?
Right. It's like, okay, that's really hard. What else can we do? Oh, North Carolina. Yeah.
So, and North Carolina had already beaten the team 3-1, but the plus side is that one that the Pride had scored against North Carolina was the only goal that North Carolina had allowed in their first four games. So it's like, okay, so you knew the Pride could score against them. Well, it was scoreless first half, and then in the second half, they kind of came out just absolutely on fire. Chioma Obogugu, I'm going to always try not to butcher her name, she scores her first goal as a member of the Pride to get things started. Camilla adds a goal, her second, and both of those against North Carolina. And the very next – and those were 1 minute apart. And then a minute after that, North Carolina fires back and pulls back within one with a Dabinia goal. And so it was just kind of back and forth for a bit. And then North Carolina had a player sent off with a second yellow card, Abby Erceg. And that kind of took the pressure off a little bit, and Orlando was able to get more possession and threaten for that, you know, insurance goal, and they finally got it through Jasmine Spencer, set up by a beautiful feed by Marta.
Yes, and Chi, as you and I know her, I can't really do it.
Obogugu.
Obogugu.
Yeah, it's fun to say.
Obogugu. All right, so Chi... opened her account with the Pride, and it was a really nice cross from Krieger, and it seemed to, like, when you watch it on the replay, you're like, how did it even get through? Because she is on the other side of the goal, yeah. And it just goes past several of Carolina's players, mm-hmm. and then she's right there, and she just slots it home perfectly for that first goal to put the Pride up, and you can see the joy on her face. And most importantly, it got the ball rolling.
Yeah, it did, and you know, it was nice to see Allie Krieger get forward and putting balls into the box. That's why they went out and got her in the offseason, something they were not getting last year. from the right flank. They were getting some from Steph Catley, but they weren't really getting anything from the right side like that. So, you know, Krieger was able to get four, showing a little bit more speed than a woman her age would guess she would have, because she's, you know, she's not a spring chicken anymore. She's been doing this a while. And she got forward and put that ball into a nice spot, and just none of the defenders could get to it. I mean, either their momentum carried them past it, or they just weren't lined up and couldn't quite get there. So it was.
Or Krieger's a experienced pro who evidently still has speed and was able to, I don't know, put it through like a knuckleball so that nobody could touch it.
It was crafty. It was very crafty on her part.
It was crafty.
So it was nice to see the Pride get the win and you know, in the end, comfortably with a 2-goal lead against a 4-0 team. So really a big confidence builder, Dave, because they know they can beat the league's best team, the defending champions, who had only given up 1 goal in 4 games. They went out and put a 3 spot up, and they really looked good doing it. And so it's got to be something they can build on.
Well, I agree. And you know, we look back at the games that they, you know, they lost and they drew. It wasn't that they were, I mean, they were never getting their butts beat. I mean, except for that one time, 3-1 against Carolina. But,
there
you know,
was some extenuating circumstances in that game. There was a penalty and that, you know, that kind of thing. So.
Right.
Yeah, but you're right. You're right.
They're getting their chances.
Yeah, they weren't getting blown out. You're right. They were in every game, had tons of chances to score in some of their games. I mean, they really outshot Portland in that first game.
Right.
And so, you know, mistakes. So
they were getting chances. You know, the ball wasn't going in the back of the net. Yeah. Call it bad luck. Call it, you know, getting to know each other. Call it whatever you like. Hopefully this win at home over the best team in the NWSL allows them to, you know, that's the spark that gets them going forward. You know, especially because, I mean, they got to travel for the next game too. Once again, another good team.
Well, the schedule maker laughed and said, "Ha ha! So you got your win after all. Here's 2 more road games for you. Your next 2 games are on the road, and the first of those is going to be on the other side of the country against the highest scoring team in the league, Seattle Reign. Yes. Seattle Reign has scored." I think they've scored 13 goals or something like that already this season. So they're a high scoring team, but they do give up a lot of goals. So this could be a pretty high scoring game if the trip doesn't take the Pride's legs out from under them. It could be a really entertaining and high scoring affair.
Well, and what I'm hoping is that they score a lot, but they also give up a lot. And you know, Ashlyn Harris, we've got one of the better goalies in the league. So if she can do what she does, and if Chi and Marta and everybody else and Danica can get their foot on the ball and put it in the back of the net, you know, it might be, like you said, it might be a crazy 4-3, you know, kind of game. But my hope is that they go out there, they take the momentum from this win at home, go out, stun Seattle, and get another win there.
Yeah, it would be nice to get a win over Laura Harvey's team. That team is, I think they won, I want to say 6-2 last weekend. They of course, you'll remember, they put up a 5 spot last time we went to Seattle. And that was no fun at all. So I really kind of would like to see the Pride go out there and play a very sound defensive game and just not give up much, and maybe get one on the counter and take 3 points out of Seattle, or at least one, because one would still be a good. The funny thing is, you know, you look at their slow start, you look up and they're 3 points out of second place still after this weekend. So there's a lot of parity. Anything can happen. It's a long season. If they can hit their stride and then they just load up on those home games in the second half of the season, and if they do well at the Fortress like Orlando City has, you know, they have every chance in the world to climb back in this thing.
My biggest hope for the game in Seattle is that I'll get to see it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I wasn't going to go too much into that, but the Go 90 app absolutely dropped the ball and sucked ass this past weekend. Most of the first half was unwatchable for anybody that wasn't in the stadium. NWSL, to their credit, finally went, you know what, this isn't working. Let's un-geo-block our website and let people watch it there. And they did that. Now, I wish they had done that a little quicker and gotten the word out a little faster, too. But, you know, at least they did try to respond. I know that their first reaction is always going to be, let's see if we can get this thing fixed. And maybe their first reaction right now should be, let everything stream through their website and then lock it if everything's going good with the stream.
and say, okay, everything's going good. Now we're gonna switch you over to Go 90. So everybody.
Yeah, put a little note up saying, hey, Go 90's working. Go on over there. You know, I downloaded the thing. I'm happy to go watch it on there as long as I can.
Yeah, as long as you can. And it was a frustrating first half, but at least we didn't miss any goals because it was 0-0.
That's true.
So do better, Go 90. That's I think our message to you tonight.
That's pretty much it.
All right, so the Pride won, and Orlando City drew, and Orlando City B had to go up and play Cincinnati in front of a big crowd. FC Cincinnati, of course, has been drawing spectacular USL crowds up there since they've joined the USL, and they're not off to a great start this season, but they had a little success recently, and they were playing at home, and Orlando City had never beaten Cincinnati. And they went up there and played a very rough, rough game. I mean, yellow cards out the wazoo, fouls all over the place. Everything was a foul, Dave. And, it was 0-0 for a long time. And finally, Pierre Da Silva made a nice play, got into the box, got taken down. He gets a penalty. He made no mistake on it, scored, put the Young Lions ahead. And then from there, it was just a matter of protecting the lead and waiting for a chance to strike on the counter. They had a golden opportunity that they somehow didn't score on. And then a few minutes later, Richie Larea scored on another a similar kind of a jailbreak with about a 3-on-2 break. He had a bunch of teammates with him. And instead of sliding it over and risking somebody muffing the pass, he just put it in off the near post to make it 2-0. And that was Richie's third goal in three games. And he is earning some minutes coming up with the first team this year.
I was just about to say, Larea has been playing spectacular down at OCB. He is kind of cream of the crop. You mentioned the attendance there, 19,310 mm-hmm. something. I mean, that was a big crowd for a USL game.
It would have been bigger than several of the MLS games this past weekend.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's a huge atmosphere to go into on the road and to come away with a 2-0 win. I mean, that's just spectacular. Pierre Da Silva, he was magic on the ball. I mean, weaving in and out of guys. I mean, some of his touches were so soft, and he was making some guys look a little bit silly, which it's not the first time this season he's done that. I mean, we've seen those flashes from him before. So for him to, you know, be able to do that, I'm not at all surprised. I'm really glad to see it. But Richie has, like you said, 3-3, and he's making a statement that he wants to come up and play with the big boys.
And before the end of the game, a nice big save from Earl Edwards Jr., who had kept three straight clean sheets for the Young Lions. They have absolutely not allowed a goal in three games. So, we kind of talked a little bit earlier in the year about how some people were being impatient and saying Anthony Pulis should be fired. And no, Anthony Pulis is just fine. The team's up to 3-3-3. They're fifth in the Eastern Conference. They've had a pretty rough go of it in terms of the scheduling in the early part of the season, but they seem like they're getting, you know, they're gelling a bit as a team, despite the fact that they have different people in the lineup. This weekend, Seb Hines and Rafael Ramos joined them, and they played 75 minutes apiece and did well. In fact, Seb Hines made the USL team of the week. Take that, Seb haters.
Hey, is that because he's healthy now?
It might be because he's got two good knees that work. It might just be that. And of course, you know, certainly the competition isn't the same level, but there's some good players
in
the USL.
And he is an experienced center back, MLS experience and otherwise. But still, he's healthy and it shows. Yeah.
So it's good to see that he could make the USL Team of the Week and in only his second appearance of the year. So, kudos to Seb, who's a good guy. I don't care if you don't like him as a player, that's fine. He's a good person, and that's probably a little bit more important, I guess, in the grand scheme of things. Congratulations to Anthony Pulis. I was looking at this earlier. We've had Anthony Pulis on the show three times.
Yep.
And twice since February, I believe.
Yeah.
So, we had Ant back on, and they go out and they win. So,
basically,
game back. So it's the podcast boost.
It's the podcast boost, podcast bump again. Yep. Yeah, we help out where we can. I mean, you know, wherever we can help.
So in advance, congrats to Chi for her hat trick in Seattle. No pressure. So the OCB's reward for winning that game on the road is two more weeks off in this bizarre schedule section of the schedule. One game in a month for OCB. Very, very bizarre. And of course, they're going to get busy, in the middle and later months of the season to make up for these weeks without a game. So, it's a little bit unfortunate because a lot of the teams in USL are playing U.S. Open Cup games midweek, so it would be nice to catch one of those in a double game week. But right. but the Young Lions are off this week.
So let's look at it this way. So MLS squad, ridiculous schedule, you know, several games in 8 days and then several games in 9 days. Pride, scheduling what we just talked about with ridiculous, you know, matchups. And then OCB, one game in a month.
Yeah,
we can't win.
But they were getting killed. They were getting killed early in the season with a lot of games because they had. I mean, everybody had two or three games in hand on them early in the season.
Okay, well then that too. I mean,
they're making up for that now. But so it will all of course even out in the end. But it would be nice to see a more normal, well structured schedule. The interesting thing is that MLS is all kind of cramming things in because you got the Gold Cup this summer. And stuff like that. So, and then the NWSL is going to have an international break for the Euros, I believe. And at that time, the U.S. is going to be taking place in a tournament with Brazil, Australia, and Japan.
Yes.
So it'll be fun. There'll be plenty of soccer this summer. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we're all jazzed up about that. Of course, the Gold Cup is going to be over here in Tampa. In July, so that's going to be cool. Martinique against the U.S. men's national team, and of course, when the World Cup qualifying hex comes to Orlando, that'll be in October. So hopefully, that'll still be in the run of games. It'll still be certainly within the Orlando City schedule for this year, and hopefully, we'll already have clinched a playoff spot by then.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so. Big weekend for everybody, six, 7 points out of nine for the three teams combined, and really just an AR's flag away from the three victories. So can't do much better than that, Dave. That's a pretty good weekend.
I said at the beginning of the podcast I was very happy.
All right, so let's talk a little bit more about that Pride victory and the Pride season in general with our special guest, and we'll get to her right after this. All right, joining us on the Mainland Podcast this week from the Orlando Pride, we've got Chioma Abogagu. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Welcome to the Mainland Podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, big win over the weekend. Orlando Pride gets their first win of the season, and obviously that was started out by your goal in the second half, a little bit of a three-goal explosion there. It's got to feel really good, Chi, to get that first win at home and to get that to open your account with the Pride.
Yeah, absolutely. The team, I feel like since preseason we've looked strong. So it's kind of unfortunate that, you know, first few games of the season we weren't getting the results that we wanted to get. So to get that result at home on Mother's Day and to have, you know, three different people score, I think that's awesome, and we're really, really excited to get back to training this week, and, you know, hopefully this starts a little run for us.
Excellent. Well, speaking of that that goal that got everything going, for those of us not on the field, it looked like the cross was coming in slow motion across the goal. What was it that you saw? I mean, obviously you put it home nicely, but how did that develop from your point of view?
Yeah, so I think Camilla kind of was the engineer, the number 10 behind the whole play. And she played a great ball in the space for Krieger. And you know, Krieger, you know, showing some speed. I feel like people don't know that she got a little motor to her, so that was awesome for her to get down the line. And she just, I mean, in training every day, she's just an amazing player, and she just brings intensity, and she, I think one of her best assets is her delivery. She's, you know, pretty consistent on just serving great balls to give forwards and midfielders in the box a chance to finish it. So in my point of view, in my opinion, I think the ball was great, and that's why it was really hard for their back line to deal with. I think two of their players kind of misread it because she kind of put a lot of pace on it. And, you know, Tom really talked about how when we were watching film and kind of grilled that we were getting opportunities. We were having people, Marta especially, Krieg, Steph Catley, they're serving great balls in the box, and we need to do a better job of getting and getting on the end of them to finish them. So I just wanted to make sure I got in. The ball fell towards me. I saw the keeper open up her legs a little bit, so I just wanted to place it.
Now, early in the season, you were getting a lot of shots, and just nothing seemed to be going in for you. How did you stay positive, and how did Tom Sormani help you, or did he help you at all with staying positive on the field?
Yeah, I think Tom's a great coach, and he's super honest, and he's great at getting feedback of things to work on or things he thinks you're doing a good job at. And kind of like you said, I was getting shots off, I was getting opportunities, but you know, at this level and the next phase of my game, he was kind of, you know, challenging me to put them away and to be more consistent and to be, you know, maybe a little bit more focused in that final product of, you know, finishing my chances. So that's kind of what I've been trying to focus on at training. And, you know, when you have great players like we do on the Pride, they're giving you the opportunity to keep training and to keep practicing to get the ball in the net.
Well, you talked about, you know, obviously, you know, your goal to, well, basically score more goals. How is or who on the team is standing out and either helping you with that during training or, you know, during a match? Who is it that's you know, feeding not just the ball in, but also your development or, you know, spirit, whatever?
Yeah. I mean, I think everyone, our team's, in my opinion, I think we're crazy talented. And to add to that, everyone has a great work ethic. So it's a lethal combination. And every day everyone brings it. So it's awesome going out there to train. But for me, I think, I know in my part of the game, I personally think I need to get better at completing my chances and finishing my chances. So I like watching Marta just because, to be as consistent as she has for so many years, it's been amazing just to learn from her and watch her habits, watch her instincts, and I'm hoping that I can grow just being her teammate. And then I also think Danica Evans is a very quality finisher, just a pure striker, and she showed that in Colorado, obviously. And then, you know, she scores our first goal at home, which is great composure. So those two, I think, I can really learn from in that aspect.
You know, last year being at Houston, I think every pro athlete, everybody that's competitive in any way, really wants to be successful in whatever situation they're in. And it was maybe a little bit of a tough season for you last year at the Dash. But, you know, what were your impressions of the Pride at that time? And then what was your reaction to being traded to Orlando?
Yeah, I mean, it's the nature of sports. I guess I saw, you know, the business side or whatever you want to call it. Because obviously as a player, you want to, you know, I love this game and I'm blessed to be able to play at a professional level. And I wasn't getting as much time as I would have hoped for. But, you know, Randy Waldron and I have known each other for a while, and it was nice for, you know, I went in after season hoping to, you know, find a team and opportunity to get more time, and he you know, agreed with it, which was awesome for him and the GM and organization, so I'm grateful for that. But since, you know, last year Orlando and Houston were paired, I think we played them four times, two at home and two away.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they beat us three out of the four times, and you know, I don't think they had maybe it was their first year, so I don't think they necessarily had a draft or, you know, the allocated players maybe that they wanted to get in the future, but, you know, getting three wins out of four against, you know, Houston side, in my opinion, was very talented. I thought that just gives, I think that just shows a lot to Tom and the staff of, you know, attacking their game plan and getting good results. So I was really excited when, you know, Randy agreed with my trade and Tom was happy to, you know, fulfill the trade and to join the side and see what we can, you know, what we can continue to do.
Now, obviously, you had your time in Houston, Arsenal, U.S. national team, U18, 20, and 23. I mean, you've played in a lot of venues. I'm curious about what you think of the new stadium, especially maybe the atmosphere, especially in that last game when you guys, you know, had that big win.
I mean, that stadium is unbelievable. I remember when we trained there for the first time, and I just couldn't get over how nice it was. Everything smelled new still. The grass felt amazing. It's just really special to have an organization, you know, put time and, you know, funds into building a stadium like that, because it just shows that they believe in the city and they believe in the support and they believe, you know, in the men and women's side. So playing in there on Mother's Day again, you know, after each goal, I mean, it was loud and it was erupting, and just building off that environment and atmosphere is going to be so fun the rest of the season.
Now, Chi, the schedule makers didn't do you guys a world of favors the early part of the season. You start out the year with the Shield winners and the two teams that played in the final, two of those games on the road, then a rough trip to Kansas City against, you know, one of the better defensive clubs in the league, and then home against the first place team, and then now going to Seattle and Sky Blue. Can you articulate how tough the start of this season has been for you guys physically?
Yeah, I mean, I think all the teams in our league are, you know, there's not much disparity, which is awesome. Any team can kind of beat another team on any given day if you're not prepared. So I think we had a great preseason. I think our staff did a great job of getting those three or four games, and to get us prepared for, you know, for that kind of start. So obviously we would have loved to get more points at the beginning, but the positive out of those matches that we had chances. We were creating opportunities. It wasn't one-sided defeats or one-sided draws. We had our chances, we had our opportunities, and we didn't, you know, capitalize on that. And I think that was a difference from those first few games. And then, you know, this Sunday's game is when we were putting away our chances. So, you know, maybe it's a good thing that we had those intense games right off the bat and learned those lessons, and now we can just keep building.
Well, speaking of going, you're going out to, like Michael said, heading out to Seattle. What's the game plan? What are you guys going to be taking from this win on Sunday and implementing? Where do you think the opportunities are when you head out there?
Yeah, so Seattle's a great team, and Laura Harvey's a great coach. She coached at Arsenal for a few years, and some of my teammates at Arsenal still talk about her and how great she was. So I'm really excited because I think a lot of their players are just very good football players. They understand the game. They're tactically sound. They're technically sound. So I feel like that's kind of how, you know, our team is built and how we would like to play. So in my opinion, it might be kind of like a chess match and, you know, just hopefully just good football, which would really be fun to, you know, to play and to compete against. So I think this week in training, we'll look at how we want to deal with their key players and how we want to, you know, attack our game plan.
Chi, before we let you get out of here, just two more questions I have for you. The first of which is, I was just curious as to, you know, when Marta arrived, how did she change the culture, or did she just embrace the culture was here? You know, what was the situation like when she came into the team? Because you guys already had, you know, a game under your belts and had been training and had preseason and all that. You know, what was the culture like post Marta's arrival, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, Marta's a personality. She's awesome. her English is really, so there's not much language barrier or anything like that. And she's just a very bubbly, warm, loving, passionate person. And I remember when she came out to training, we kind of had, she had a press conference, I think, before, so she's a little late, and we warmed up already, and we were, Tom was addressing the whole team, and she kind of, she approached us, and I think, you know, any situation like that, maybe a new player might be nervous or a little timid, but she, you know, she said hi, and she went around and hugged each and every person, and then went to go warm up and then join the team, and I just thought that was really special and really cool to do that right off the bat, and it just kind of speaks volumes to her character. She's just so nice and so warm, and she's always got a smile on her face, dancing or you know, kind of giving me a hard time, jerking with me. But it's cool because she has a great balance, because she still brings that intensity and focus and training. So I'm sure that comes with the experience and all the teams she's been on. But she's just got such a good head of how to manage everything. So I'm really excited to keep, you know, watching her and, you know, learn and grow off her.
Well, I'm glad you said that her English is really good, because now I'm gonna bug Jackie Maynard to get her on the podcast with us. last question I have for you: the non-allocated players in the NWSL it was just announced that you guys have a players union now, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on what a big step this is for the players, and you know, what your thoughts are on how this will affect you guys as professionals moving forward.
Yeah. So. Yaya, who plays for Kansas, one of my good friends. I trained with her a lot of offseason. She's been working on this endlessly, so very happy and for her, for, you know, putting this together. And that's so selfless and just speaks volumes of the kind of person she is, all the work and time she put into it. But it's awesome. I think it's a great step for our league and the players in our league. It's not a union yet. The hope is to get there. There's no timetable on one yet, but the association is just, you know, something to unify all the girls in the league, and we're not trying to make demands. That's not our purpose or our notion. We just really want to have a close association with the league and just be a positive, you know, voice or influence or suggestions with how we can keep moving forward and progressing all the amazing things that this league has done so far. So I'm really excited to be a part of it. Kristen's also part of it for us. And Jazz, I think, is the like third honorable mention player too. So it's really cool. The group text, all the players are really fired up about it across the league. So really proud of Yaya to put that together and, you know, to see the things in the future that we can accomplish with it.
Well, congratulations. I'm sorry, I misspoke. Yes, Players Association, not a union yet, but I think that it can only help with you guys' you know, efforts to you know, to get you know, a living wage for instance, and moving forward, you know, to really solidify the league, as it's, you know, survived longer than any other women's league in this country, and I think that,
yeah,
big,
exactly,
things are,
yeah,
are ahead for you guys. So. Chi Abogagu, thank you so much for being with us on the Mainland Podcast. It's been a real treat to talk to you, and best of luck out in Seattle and the rest of the season.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, Chi.
All right. Well, once again, thank you to Chi Abogagu for joining the Mainland Podcast and telling us all about her first goal and her the first win for the Pride and all that other stuff. She was a really good interview, Dave.
Yeah, she was a absolute joy to have on. And, you know, the one thing that I didn't get to ask her was, evidently her grandfather played for Tottenham Hotspurs, but she is an Arsenal fan. And I'm really curious if they have inter-family arguments about that when watching EPL. But we'll have to wait for next time for that one.
Yeah, well, we'll have to have her back on again after her next goal or next win. I don't know. So we'll have her back on again at some point.
Well, we can't do it that quick because she's on the podcast.
Yeah, she's going to get the podcast bump. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, we'll have her on again at some point, and hopefully she had as good a time as we did with that interview. Dave, we got some games coming up. We got two games. It's a double game week for Orlando City. As we mentioned, the OCB is off this week, and they'll be back on, I think, the 27th is their next game. The Pride going up to Seattle Reign, and that's going to be a very tough ask to go up there. It's a very difficult place to play, you know, just traversing from the southeast U.S. to the northwest U.S. is just a very arduous trip. It takes a lot of your legs away. So hopefully the Pride will get up there, have their legs under them, and have enough energy to get out and defend and keep a clean sheet and maybe snag one on the counter and get a win. But Orlando City also with a big trip this week. San Jose tonight, as we drop this podcast on Wednesday the 17th. Dave, I got to get your key matchups and your score prediction for a trip to Avaya Stadium, which is probably a good destination for you and me because they have a lot of craft beers there.
Yeah, we would definitely have a good time out there. There's no doubt about it. And I encourage you guys to go out and check out the last minute Pride Pub. Now, it's a dessert based one because the game is at 10:30 at night. So I'm not gonna make you eat dinner. Yeah, go check that out. Okay, so as far as the matchups go, given that we're on the road, we're all the way across the country, despite what some people have been saying recently about the defense, I'm still feeling pretty good about it. I think it's going to be our strikers and the upper midfield against their defense. I think we need to get the goals. If we can get two, I think we can walk out of there with a win, and that is my score prediction. I say 2-1 on the road, get the first win in California. Part of that is I was chastised when I predicted a 2-1 loss to Toronto, that it was my fault that I jinxed us. So I'm gonna go ahead and go the other way, say a 2-1 win on the road in San Jose.
Oh, that would be pretty sweet. You wanna offer up your goal scorers, or are you not feeling that confident?
Yes, actually, I think I will. All right, so Kaká's been on a roll. He's going to get one of the goals, probably the second one. I think Rivas will get the other one. He'll get the first one. It'll be a, you know, he's done enough assisting. I think he gets the other one. So Rivas and Kaká for the goals.
All right. I think for me, and that's a pretty good matchup there. They've got a good pair of center backs there in San Jose. It'll be interesting to see what their squad rotation looks like. They had played Wednesday night at altitude up in Colorado, so it'll be interesting to see what Dominic Kinnear puts out there and what Jason Christ puts out there, frankly, because it'll, you know, he talked sort of, I don't want to say out of both sides of his mouth, but he sort of said, we got to do either change the lineups up or keep all the starters exactly the same. And I'm like, okay, we're gonna have to do one of those two things.
Hey, good on the coach for keeping the other team guessing. Yeah. We're either gonna do everything the same or we're gonna completely change everything.
Yeah.
Plan for that.
Yeah,
that's brilliant. That's
exactly
brilliant.
So I don't know what he's gonna do. It'll be interesting to see. I think the key matchup for me is going to be just keep Wando quiet. I think if you keep Wando quiet, you probably are going to have a good chance to be successful against San Jose. And then, you know, he's a tough guy to keep quiet, but hopefully they'll be able to keep him off the score sheet. So if they play the 4-3-3 with Wando on the right side, that's going to be Donny Toya probably, if he gets the start again. And if it is Toya, he's probably going to feel pretty good considering the fact that the last few games he's played against blazing speed guys. And Wando is not that. Wando is not going to beat Toya, you know, by 10 yards in a foot race the way maybe Albert Elise did, you know, and that kind of thing.
But Donnie will be breathing easy for the first time in a couple matches, be like, oh, thank goodness, I don't have to run really fast this time.
Yeah, so just get a lot of sleep on the plane. Well, of course, they're already out there. They went on Monday after training. hopefully got a good night's rest, plenty of rest in those legs, and they get a good warm up and get a good lather going, and hopefully go out and play hard. I think that if they keep Wando quiet, they got a chance. I'm going to go with a scoreline prediction. It's very, very difficult to win on the road in MLS, as everybody knows. The Earthquakes are undefeated at home, 3-0-2. How come we are saying that every week?
Every time we go on the road.
Oh, Toronto, they're unbeaten at home. Houston, they're unbeaten at home. San Jose, they're unbeaten at home. Everybody's unbeaten at home.
It's that scheduling thing again.
I'm going to say it's a 1-1 draw because no team in this series has been able to get the upper hand. I'm going to go 1-1, and I think Kyle Aaron gets another goal. And if it's not Kyle, then it's going to be some defender. I don't know which one, but one of them.
Okay. I like the bold prediction. I like it.
Well, last week I predicted, I think, Nocerino.
Yes, you did.
And he did make one really nice early run into the box, and Christian Nogueta totally ignored his run.
And you were watching that going, come on, come on.
I said, did you see that run by Nocerino? Because he came from like the midfield stripe into the box, while Higuita just stood on the near sideline, sort of surveying his options. And he's just like, okay, if a 30-year-old dude busts his butt down the field, give him the ball.
Right.
You know, just reward the guy. But Christian said, nah, I'm going to be a little safe with the ball. And I think he backpassed, because he usually does. But anyway, I learned my lesson. No Nocerino. if he scores, great. But I'm gonna put him in the MPG box.
Oh, dang!
It's like, you're gonna score when you score, but I'm not ever gonna predict you to score. if you do, great. I don't care if it goes in off your rear end. Something's gotta give at some point. The law of averages says one of these guys is gonna score a goal.
All right, you heard it, ladies and gentlemen. We now have a new term. It's the Citro box.
The butt goal.
It's the you're not gonna score unless it's off your butt goal.
Yeah, I don't know. It's how many chances has MPG had since he's been in Orlando, and it just won't go in the net? He's hitting the crossbar, he's hitting the post, he's having amazing saves made against him, he's missing just inches wide, it's getting blocked, it's getting cleared off the line.
He's due!
I know, but that's why I keep saying, every time that happens, I just turn to somebody in the press box and say, he's never scoring for Orlando City. He's never, and it's just like builds, and it's become this
self-fulfilling
joke. People will look at me now before I even say it. They'll look at me like when MPG gets these chances, and they'll look at me, and I don't even look back at them. I just can feel their eyes on me and go, yeah, he's never scoring for Orlando City. And people are like, dang, you're harsh. And I'm like, I'm not being harsh. You're seeing the evidence, man. if he didn't score on that one, when honestly will he score?
Or it's all your fault.
I think that it's just one of those things that it's not going to be the perfect play. It's going to be somebody banks one in off his face or something. It's because he's had the opportunities on the perfect play and it hasn't worked out. So it's going to be the law of averages say it's going to be something really ugly and weird.
It's going to be the inadvertent Kyle Larin header.
Yeah, like that. Exactly. It's like the thing just, Scott Sutter tries a cross from 8 yards from you and just blasts it in off your face. That kind of thing.
It goes in the goal, and MPG is holding his nose. It's bleeding, right?
Yeah, it's like that kind of thing. So anyway, I don't know. Like I said, I think it'll probably be Kyle Larin. If it's not Kyle, because Kyle tends to get his goals in bunches, and he went 3 without one. So that's why I said him.
All right.
If it's not him, it's going to be somebody completely random, and I'll give anybody on the back line an equally random amount of chance to score a goal.
There you have it, podcast listeners. two completely different predictions as far as the scoring goes. Me going with the steady ones, and Michael going with the odd.
Both the most and least likely options. Right
there. bet on both, and you'll come out even.
Maybe the wise course of action is just to always predict two goals and always predict there'll be MPG and Antonio Nocerino. And at some point
it'll happen.
The laws of averages will finally balance the scales and I'll be right.
I don't think we're anyway. Are one of two things is going to happen. Either we're going to die or they're not going to be on the team anymore.
Well, anything's possible in an infinite world, in a world of universe of infinite possibilities. So that's where we live.
That's true.
So before we
wrap up episode 86. Dave, we got another game on Sunday.
Yes, we do.
Orlando City is going to try to do something they've never done before, and that is sweep a series from an opponent. New York City FC coming into town for the third and final regular season matchup between the two teams. Orlando City beat them on opening day 1-0, went up to Yankee Stadium, beat them 2-1. And what's going to happen? What's your key matchup for round three, and what's your scoreline prediction?
We are back home for that game. And
yep, that'll be the third in 9 days, by the way.
Yes. And so, third in 9 days, but we're at home. And right now, we don't lose at home. So I'm going to say we don't lose at home again. Not only that, we do take out the broom. We do sweep. I'm going to do a second 2-1 victory. So both games, 2-1 victories. We get them back-to-back. And the reason why is, for whatever reason, I think this year we've got their number. It might be different if we were going up there and having to play on that tiny, tiny, tiny little postage stamp of a field. but we don't. We're in the best stadium in MLS, and so I think we come out of there with the win. I think it'll be despite having to travel across the country and come back, I think that the fans will provide the energy that the team needs. The key matchup is going to be this time. It's going to be the defense against New York City's offense, in particular, David Villa. I'm not saying that he's not going to get a goal. I think he will. But that will be the one goal. I think we will get two. And you know what? I'm going to do the same thing I did the last time we did this, and I was right. I say Laren gets a brace, Villa gets one, and Orlando City walks away with a win.
Okay, that was very specific. That was very specific. I liked it. Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one for sure. Orlando City coming back from the West Coast in midweek. That has been an issue in years past. Going out to the West and then coming back to play here has been problematic. I don't know if that will continue because that was a different regime, but it will be very interesting. I do know that when they went out and lost to the Galaxy, they then lost their next two games and gave up four goals in each of those games. So it was tough. Now, New York City is going out West as well. They're playing Real Salt Lake in the midweek. And then they're coming to Orlando. So both teams are kind of in the same boat. I don't think that a trip to San Jose and a trip to Real Salt Lake are notably different in terms of the travel.
Having been to both of those places, I can confirm it's not.
Real Salt Lake is a game at altitude, but it's a team that's really struggling and has a lot of injuries. So that's an opportunity for New York to rest some good players, some of their better players. I don't know if they will do that or how they'll do it or how they'll sort of rotate the squad, but certainly you'd have to think they'll put more emphasis on this game against Orlando City than against Real Salt Lake. Patrick Vieira is going to really want this one. So I wouldn't even be surprised if Villa and Harrison both sat at Real Salt Lake and then they, tried to eke out a result there before they come back. Now, they went and got a draw at FC Dallas. So that was a heck of a result for them. I would say they're playing very good soccer right now. They beat Atlanta 3-1 before that. They came from behind they beat the Crew 3-2 before that. So they haven't lost a game since Orlando City beat them.
Right. They're due.
It's going to be very, very difficult for Orlando City and New York City in that game. But I do think New York's got a good enough quality to avoid the sweep and get a 2-2 draw at Orlando City Stadium. So, goal-wise, yeah, Kyle Laren likes to score against New York teams. I've heard tell. He's been known to score against those New York teams. So I'll give him one of them. I'll give him one, and I'm going to give Ricky one.
That was a really solid, solid, normal goal pick there, Michael.
Yeah, I know. I kind of just go with the gut. I think
you just learn from what you said. You're like, I'm not doing the. You're like, so I'm gonna go with a solid one now. Okay, I respect that.
So all the right. Usual teams get the usual goal. The usual goal scorers. The oddball teams like San Jose, you never know what's gonna happen.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
You just never know.
Do you have any predictions for who's getting the New York goals?
I'll probably Villa gets both of them because that guy just keeps scoring.
Yeah.
But you know, I just, what can you do? The guy's freaking good. I mean, it's,
he is good.
You have to take your hat off to the guy. I mean, he's a guy who could still probably be playing for a top team in the European League right now. I mean, it's, you know, he had some injury issues and he decided to come over here and kind of start over. But I think for sure he could play for, I mean, if Fernando Torres could play for Atletico, I think David Villa could play for Atletico.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And it wasn't a hesitation when I gave him the one goal that they're scoring. I gave it to him. I mean, it was kind of a no-brainer. I guess the only difference between your prediction and my prediction is I'm giving Joe Bendick one more save than you are.
Yeah. Well, what you got to like about Villa as a soccer fan is that he's not one of these prima donna strikers who,
no.
You know, once the ball gets cleared, he just kind of wanders back, you know, until he's onside, you know.
No.
He will go after the ball and fight for it in his own end. You know, he'll drop deeper and get on the ball, and he's active, and he can take guys on. He's not one of these, you know, strikers who just has to have the ball played to him. Like, you know, he will go out there in space, and he's not afraid to take you on, and he will more often than not beat you. So,
yeah,
he's certainly a handful for anybody. But I think that, you know, Tommy Redding, with his movement, was a good player to have on him or have on the field against him. And of course, Tommy's with the U20s for the FIFA World Cup, FIFA U20 World Cup in South Korea. So we won't have him, and that might make the difference in between a win and a draw. But it would be really nice to get the brooms out.
It would be exceptional to get the brooms out because of, even though they, as we've talked earlier, they don't necessarily think of us as a rival. We do think of them as a rival. So to be able to sweep 3-3, that would be fantastic. So I guess what we're saying is we hope that I'm right. Michael's wrong this time. Yeah. You know, which anytime that I predict a win and he doesn't, we always say that, you know, and obviously we mean that now. We're also realistic. You know, we're coming at this from a somewhat empirical point of view. I mean, okay, I might be a little bit homer with the 2-1, you know, given 2-1, 2-1, but yeah, you heard my reasons earlier.
Well, I'm not necessarily a great predictor of final scores. That's just been proven time after time. So I would be happy to be surprised in a very pleasant way. You know, I did not think that Houston was capable of beating Orlando City 4-0.
we were both monumentally wrong on that.
Yeah.
One.
I thought Orlando City had a good enough defense to kind of hold them under wraps, but I didn't count on Spectre not playing, and that definitely affected the game somewhat.
Yeah.
So anyway, there you have it. There's our key matchups and our predictions. Come back and ridicule us later. After you find out what actually happens, we're okay with it. We're surprisingly comfortable in our own skin.
Well, not only that, but frankly, we'll probably ridicule ourselves later if we're wrong that badly, as you just heard via Houston. But you know, there was a little segment there where we had a little run going, or you know, where we had a couple that were right on. So I mean, you know,
yeah, where I was like getting right on the goal scorers, and you were right on the score, or vice versa.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I mean,
yeah we had a little bit of run.
We had a little run there, and it was good. So you know, maybe we get back on it this week.
Yeah, we need to get on a roll. All right, Dave, that's going to do it for episode number 86 of the Mainland Podcast. It was a fun one. I think I think we all learned something today. Who knows? Maybe we didn't. Maybe we didn't learn a damn thing. We just wasted an hour of our day.
Hey, we all learned that Chi is awesome.
Yeah, Chi is awesome. And we do thank Chi Abogagu, as I once again have to pronounce her name, for being with us and being a great sport and coming on the Mainland Podcast. And we wish the Pride and Orlando City all the luck in the world this week. And OCB, just stay healthy because you're just training. You know, you don't even have a game.
Yeah.
That's you know, take it easy. Go to the beach.
Have a beer.
Have not too many. We don't want to get out of
I said a beer.
We don't. Yeah, let's not get out of our fitness regime. But that'll do it. That'll do it for episode 86. We will see you next week. We'll come back and we'll have two games to break down next week. And then we'll look ahead, I believe it, two more games for next week. It's going to be a crazy, crazy podcast with two games behind and two games ahead. That's We haven't done that. I don't know if we've ever done that, Dave. I don't know if we've ever had a podcast, even predating your becoming a co-host, where we've talked about two past games and two ahead games when we've done it weekly. Because there have been some times when when there's been like it's just been too busy and we haven't been able to do one. But there have been, as far as I know, when we're doing them regularly weekly, there hasn't been a time when there's been two ahead and two behind in the same podcast, as far as I know. I can go back and check that. But.
So what Michael is saying here, listeners, is he and I have a lot of work to do. But most importantly, you guys have to prepare yourselves to listen to us for a little bit longer. And we apologize for that. Yeah. But just take your Wheaties that morning. Suck it up, and we'll all get through it together.
Listen, if you got a long commute, then you're stuck in the traffic anyway, so you may as well just listen.
If you're on I-4, you can probably listen to a couple of podcasts, so,
Yeah, you could listen to us, and then after we're done, you're still halfway to work, and then you can hit the Spotify or whatever you're going to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so, we're always happy to give you options on how to pass the time in traffic. Here, that's one of the things that we're very good at here at the Mainland Podcast. I think, I would like to personally see all of you giving us your honest star ratings at iTunes and maybe a review if you are so inclined to let people know what you think of what we do here. And that way we can, move up the list and get in front of more people that might enjoy the podcast. And also please read our stuff at themainland.com. We'll have full coverage of San Jose or Orlando City at San Jose, full coverage of Orlando Pride at Seattle Reign, and full coverage of Orlando City hosting New York City FC. And so, yeah, it's going to be busy from a writing standpoint, too, for the staff. And then, of course, you can like us on Facebook, and you can catch us on the Twitters at The Mainland. And please, if you have any questions for us and you want us to read them on the air and answer them, you can write us themainland@gmail.com. We would love to answer your questions. It could be about anything. Don't have to be about soccer. It could be about love or life or where to get where to get a good bratwurst or something. I don't know. Whatever you happen to have as a burning question, we'll do our best to answer it. We can't promise to give you the right answer, but we will promise to give you an answer.
An answer, at least, yes. Whether it's expert or not. Absolutely.
Yes. We can't claim to be an expert on all things, but we are. We have a little bit of knowledge, and as you know, a little bit of knowledge can be a very dangerous thing.
And we're very, very dangerous.
We can definitely wield that danger, in a way that sees fit. But yeah, we've got Dave. We got so much going on. We got San Jose. We got New York City FC. And then I believe it's at Minnesota.
That.
And then we've got DC United. Actually, we won't have two ahead this coming week. We'll be previewing Minnesota. We'll be talking about New York City and San Jose. But when it drops, we'll be previewing two games.
Yes.
DC United, of course, Chicago to follow.
Yes.
So, it's just busy. It's just busy. And, OCB will be back then, too. And I think that at some point in that stretch, they have two games in a week.
Oh, good.
If I'm not mistaken. I might be wrong. They might have a weekend and a midweek and then a weekend off. I'm trying to go by memory here, and it's just not quite clicking. But I know that there's three games on the 27th. I know there's Orlando City at Minnesota. The Pride are at Sky Blue, and the Young Lions of OCB are hosting the Charlotte Independents, and if I'm not mistaken, our very own Austin David from the Mainland will be calling that game.
Nice.
So yeah, that's what the birdies are telling me. So if the birdies are not lying, then it'll. Now Austin's done it before, and he does a good job. So you want to check that out. But of course, that game's at 7:30. Orlando City's at 8:00. And the Pride are at 7:00. You're going to need a lot of devices that night.
Yeah, right. So have your phone, have your tablet, have your computer, have your TV.
Yeah, you need all of it, everything, and follow Twitter.
And then borrow somebody else's to also grab onto YouTube or Facebook.
And,
whatever. Yeah,
and you can listen to the Lions also on the radio that night too. Because why not?
Yeah, sure.
Just plug everything into your brain and just download it all at once.
We're going Matrix is what
Why
we're saying.
Why can't we do that yet, Dave? That should be a thing that we can do.
We can. We are already in the Matrix. Didn't you know that?
All right. Well, you know what? We've babbled long enough for episode number 86. So on behalf of David Rowe, I am Michael Citro, the founder and managing editor of themainland.com. I'm signing off the way I always do by saying, go City.